Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Garage Talk Live. I'm Vince Bonfigli, as it's now, I guess, a week and a half before Christmas. Last week we didn't do a show, so this week we're going to have an encore presentation of a show I did back in the old days at WNJC Studios. So, if you're new to the audience and didn't hear what we did, here's something going back in time to a couple of years ago before we came to Blog Talk Radio. So enjoy this encore presentation. I'm Vince Bonfigli, and you're listening to us on WNJC 1360 AM and Wi-Fi, WIFI in the Florence area. And on the web at GarageTalkLive.com, click on one of the links, you can pick us up anywhere. Tonight we have another jam-packed show. Who'd have thought in the off-season we could have this much fun and talk about racing? Coming up shortly will be a very young lady driver in the NASCAR Whale and All-American Series. And at the bottom of the hour, we'll have Tanya Burgess talking about her charity for injured racers. So without further ado, let's bring my very special guest, first time on the show on Garage Talk Live here in Philadelphia, is from Ohio, probably one of the most promising young women race car drivers in NASCAR, flying her trade out of Ohio, Sloan Henderson. Sloan, welcome to Garage Talk Live.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Well, I've been following you a little bit on Facebook. I guess that seems to be the place to go now where everybody can connect, where race car drivers can meet talk show hosts in different markets and promote their stuff. And I guess that's how I found you, or you found my page first, and finally had a chance to get you on.
Yeah, Facebook, it's a great marketing tool nowadays because there's so many people on it or whatnot, and, you know, it just really gives you a good connection with everybody that you probably wouldn't have been in front of before. So Facebook is definitely a good marketing tool.
Well, you're a pretty busy young lady. You race at 2 tracks every weekend with the same car. You score well in the points. You've been invited to the NASCAR Drive for Diversity Combines. Tell my audience a little bit about yourself and how you got started in racing, and because, you know, we're bringing you to a new audience. The Philly area has yet to get to know you on this scale, probably, you know, outside of the regular racing pages. So we'll bring you to a whole bunch of different people in this area.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's awesome. Thanks for giving me the opportunity. But I started out in racing. Well, I guess I should say first, when I was growing up, I was kind of tomboy. But to be honest, I hated NASCAR. Like, I thought it was the most stupidest sport on the planet. I thought you just run around in a circle and you turn left, and I would hate when my parents would make me watch the race on Sunday night or Sundays because I wanted to watch cartoons, but they would make me watch the race, and I never imagined my life would be the way it is right now. But how I got started in racing is kind of ironic, funny, weird story. I used to show horses, and there was a new class that came out, and to make a short story out of it, my horse, he fell on top of me while I was trying to train him for this new division that they were showing, and he broke my jaw, and he kind of severely damaged my body or whatnot, you want to call it. And my dad at the time said that I can't show my horse Rocky anymore, and I was really sad about that. And at the time, my brother was really supporting me. This took a lot of persuading, but my dad finally got me talked into it, and I just remember being in that quarter midgets and going around this little stop track. It was like Kilcare Speedway, and just practicing for hours and hours and hours, and I knew that this was where I was meant to be, was behind the wheel. And I don't know, it's just, since then it's been an up and down journey, but it's definitely been well worth it. I raced quarter midgets for a year, which I won Eastern Grand Nationals, and I set 3 track records and won over 50 races. And then I moved into Bandoleros, and I won a couple championship races, and I placed 3rd in the nation in that. And then I moved up to legend cars, which is probably the most difficult type of race car that I've raced because they have such a short wheelbase and not a lot of horsepower and practically like street tires. So it really teaches you how to be aggressive with the wheel, and I finished 6th in the nation in that. And then I moved up into the NASCAR Wheel 8 Mile Series, which I raced and last year and this year. This year we were shooting for the Ohio State Championship. We had it led for 3/4 of the season, but I won't go into too much detail, but I should say racing politics got in the way or whatnot, and I ended up not winning the Ohio State Championship, but it was a tremendous season. We had 20 top 5 finishes, 13 podium finishes, and 7 fast times and 2 track records and several wins, so definitely no complaints. And I was only in one incident, not the first race of the season, and I was just very blessed, and I thank God all the time, and I'm a very lucky girl.
Well, it sounds to me you went from one horse with no protection except for maybe a riding helmet to a lot of horsepower with some sheet metal around you. I guess you felt a little bit safer.
Actually, racing is a really, really safe sport. I mean, when you go and see how much people get injured in football and basketball and baseball and all that stuff, and you hardly ever hear of any NASCAR driver getting hurt, but with all the safety gear, it's actually quite safe.
Now, your late model series, I guess you're mainly on the asphalt now, or you're still racing dirt tracks?
With the NASCAR series, they leave the rules up to each racetrack, so unfortunately, most racetracks, they can't come on the one basis, so you possibly have to have a different car for each racetrack, and unfortunately, we didn't have the funds to, we had barely the funds to race 2 racetracks with one car, which was really hard, but love dirt. I wish we could race dirt, but unfortunately, like I said, we didn't have the money. But I love dirt. It's definitely one of my favorite things to race in.
Well, the good thing is if you're on asphalt, when you get to start getting into the Big Three series or even ARCA or the where one of those series, you pretty much run asphalt. I think ARCA runs two dirt tracks, so if you ever do get to the ARCA series, at least you'll have a shot at running a dirt track here and there. But I guess the goal is to make it to the Sprint Cup series for you.
Oh, yeah. I believe you're supposed to have a short-term goal and a long-term goal. My ultimate goal is to be a first female to win the Sprint Cup. I know it's a big goal, but I have high standards for myself, so I keep on climbing the ladder, so hopefully I can get there.
Well, judging by your record in the car you have and what you've been running, you're doing really well. Got you, I guess, invited back to the Drive for Diversity Combines. What was that like?
It was a really neat experience and everything. With Drive for Diversity, I think it's really great that NASCAR is trying to get diversity out there in NASCAR, because when most people think of NASCAR, I mean, I hate to say it, but they think white, redneck, males, and which is really not that way, but that's how most people see it. So I think it's great that they're having the diversity program or whatnot. But when I was down there, I didn't really feel like it was my type of fit. You know, you have gut feelings about certain things, and I think the Revolution Racing, everyone down there was really nice and whatnot, and I think it's great what they're doing, but I think that my path and their path is two separate things. But it was a great opportunity, and it was just a great experience on there, because they really show you, I guess, I don't know how to describe it, what it takes to be a race car driver. Like, they do a physical assessment of you, a mental assessment, a race car driver assessment, being on the track, and then also the media. So they show you all the types what a race car driver has to be. So it was definitely a neat experience.
Well, I guess the thing of it is, coming out of there, some people do land a ride in the K&N Pro East and Pro West, where probably in the series you're in now would be one of the downturns. Now, yesterday, I see you won the Wendell Scott Award, which must feel pretty good about taking home that trophy.
Oh, yes. I just got back from North Carolina from the NASCAR banquet down there. And Wendell Scott, he was such an inspiration. I mean, he went through a lot of trials and tribulations, and when I was doing research about him, I could really relate to him. Even though he was a black male, he was still not welcomed at the racetrack. And even though almost 40 years have passed now, I mean, it's better nowadays. I mean, more people are accepting of different types of racers, but you still kind of get that discrimination, especially, like, me being a female. Most people think females can't race. And I was able to relate to that, because most people back then didn't think colored people should be in a race car, or they really discriminated against him. So it was a huge honor to receive that award. And, I mean, it was just being a top minority racer in America. It's a huge honor, and I'm just very blessed, and I feel very humbled to receive that award.
Fortunately for you, you had a little bit of an off-track incident about a month or so ago. Glad to see you're all healed up from that.
Yeah, I actually finally got my memory back about it. I guess that I was on my way to school, and I was in the fast lane, and I remember seeing this, like, dark gray car right by my right front of my car, and I remember him, like, turning over in my lane, and I had nowhere to go because I could either hit, and how my car was angled, because when I get in wreck scenario, like, everything slows down for me, so I'm able to, like, think very clearly, and I knew if he hit me, or I hit him in the, I would have been his left rear, he would have probably spun out, and then that would have caused a whole bunch of big wrecks or whatnot. So I decided to do this because I knew I would probably not hurt anybody or anybody would get hurt if I went into the median. So I jerked the car left instead of him hitting me, and then I went up this ramp and I went airborne for like, I think it was like 60 feet or something like that. And I remember thinking, I'm going to go straight to the other side of the interstate, the highway. So I was like, well, what can I do? I'm in air. There's not really that much I can do because I can't control the vehicle. So I decided that when I landed, I would already have my wheels turned to the right. So it's either I was going to dig down into the ground and probably leave a couple feet, or I would jerk right and then I'd be trying to save it. And I guess apparently it went down into the ground and dug a few feet. And I don't remember that part, but I guess I got a severe concussion and some other things. But God was with me that night, and, you know, I'm healthy now, so I guess it's all that matters.
Yeah, that's true. I guess, you know, it's funny, though, being a race driver and out on the track at high speeds, you get out on the road and something like that happens, all your skills from the track, you try to put into place to avoid that type of situation,
mm-hmm.
and it's just something, you know, because years ago I was in a serious wreck. My car, I wasn't driving the car, it was me and a friend, and it was, I was doing a no-no, it was partying on a 4th of July weekend, and fortunately for us, we both walked away, but I know how that feels to be helpless without control of your vehicle. But, you know, when you get in the race car, out on the track, you have all these kind of situations where you have a whole bunch of cars in a tighter spot. At least everybody on the track's going the same speed as opposed to the highway.
I remember when I realized I was in the air, I was like, this does not feel like no race car because I'm used to being strapped down and, you know, everything's so tight and compact and everything, and I felt very loose, but I feel like I'm going to be watching over me because I was able to stay calm. And actually, if my wheels weren't turned, they said that I would have, the other side of the, I would have actually started rolling, I guess, apparently, and I would have hit the other side of the interstate. So I'm glad that my racing instinct kicked in.
Now, coming up through the ranks, funding, I guess, seems to be a, the major thing now, you and the family own your own team. Does it make it kind of hard to get out and about to attract sponsors? At least you have the record; you can back up your performance, and that should be something that prospective sponsors like to see.
My race team was up to a quarter of a distance to Legend Cars, but this past 2 years I've been racing for a guy named Gary Estes, and he didn't have the money to go racing, but he had the ability, and he's been racing for 30 or so years, and he knows a lot about racing, and he's won a lot of championships, and we had to provide the cost for like tires and entry fees and stuff like that, and if I wrecked the car, but he would supply the, you know, man hours or whatnot to work on the race car and the crew and everything. And this season, we only had about $25,000 to actually race, and most of my competitors have a three-digit type of income, so we were very low budget compared to everybody else, but we made the resources we had work, and were able to be one of the fastest cars every weekend, and I was very lucky that God's given me the ability to see things in slow motion, so I'm able to miss wrecks very well. So I was only in one incident, and it did cost that much to fix it. And we ran about 40 races, and I kept the car in one piece, so we didn't have to worry about wrecking costs. So that was really, really good for us, because now that we sit back and look at the budget, there was no way I could have raced if I got a wreck. So Money is extremely important in sport, that's for sure.
It's important for everybody because now it seems to be, even in the bigger series, used to be the owners went out and chased the sponsors. Now the drivers have to bring them with them or they can't get a ride. And
exactly. I was actually just down in, when I was in North Carolina, we stopped at Joe Gibbs, and we're talking to a guy down there, and he manages part of Joe Gibbs, and we were talking about that, and he says, you have to bring money to the team now. It doesn't matter if you have all the talent in the world. I mean, you have to bring the money to the team. And it's really sad that racing's like that, but it's understandable because the economy and everything, and everybody's kind of working for money, but I mean, I wish it wasn't like that. We keep on trying to find sponsors, but we got to stack a nose. It's got to be like at least 2 feet long now. We keep on digging.
Well, apparently you have this thing on your website, I guess, to gain some sponsorships where people can get their name on your car called Sloan's Crusaders. Why don't you tell everybody about that? How my audience might be able to chip in a few there and help out your cause.
Oh, yeah. We have a new program. We launched it this year. It's called Sloan's Crusaders, and for $10 a month, you can get your name on my race car. And then you also get, like, special newsletters because about things that I'm doing advanced compared to me telling my fans on Facebook or whatnot. And you get, like, personal, like, little things, and I think you get discounts on certain things, and it's a really I guess it's a good program if you are interested in me and you want to help me in my racing career. And it's only $10 a month, and you can go to SloanHenderson.com, and a little pop-up will come up, and it'll say, become a Sloan's Crusaders, and you just fill out the information. And if at any time you feel like you're not obligated to pay the $10 a month, you can just not pay it anymore and just say, I don't want to pay it anymore. And there's no commitment. I mean, if something goes wrong and you can't do it or you just don't feel like it, I mean, it's fine. So we give that opportunity to our Crusaders, but we definitely treasure them, and I'm very thankful for all the ones that I have right now. I mean, they're so great, and they give me words of encouragement, and they're just, it's a great program. I'm really glad that we started it.
Well, tell everybody in my audience where we can find you. You mentioned SloanHenderson.com, your website, of course, Facebook, Twitter, all the good stuff?
Yeah, you can find me on Facebook. You can either type in the search box, Sloan Henderson, Motorsports, and in case you don't know how to spell my name, it's S-L-O-A-N, and then Henderson is H-E-N-D-E-R-S-O-N, and then Motorsports. And then on Twitter, you can, it's Sloan, and then I always forget what it's called, but it's like a line that's on the bottom.
Underscore.
Yeah, an underscore, sorry. Sloan underscore Henderson. You can find me that way. And then, of course, SloanHenderson.com.
Well, Sloan, wow, this has been a quick period of time. I'd like to thank you for joining me. You're probably tired just getting back from North Carolina from last night, so you probably want to spend some time relaxing. Glad to have you on the show.
I'm sorry, what?
It says you probably want to get some rest after coming back from North Carolina, I guess in Charlotte last night. Driving all day, and weather's pretty bad out there, and I guess in your neck of the woods.
I'm not too bad. I was actually the first one I got to actually drive the whole trip. My dad said that I needed to do that, so I drove the whole 8 hours, but I'm not too tired, actually. So, but we did get a lot of snow. I think we got like 6 inches, I think, possibly. Or
well,
the more I heard, but.
Yeah, that's true. Well, Sloan, we'd like to thank you for coming on the show for your first time. I'll be keeping an eye. We'll have you back on in the future. Now that we know who you are and my audience knows who you are, I'm sure they'll want you back on again as soon as the racing season starts, once you get things in order. And hope you had a good time.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed being on it.
All right, thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Hi.
There you have it, Sloan Henderson. Let's pick up our next call. Garage Talk Live.
Hey, Bill.
Is it Tammy? Yes, Tammy. All right, Tammy, you're kind of muffled. Stand by. We're going to take a little break, and then we'll be back with you and Tanya Burgess, and we'll talk a little bit about the Ashley...
Ashley Spokowski Black Foundation.
Right.
Yep.
I'm sure that stands for something, right?
What they sound, from what I understand, is the sound of the exhaust with four strokes. That's what the guys call it in the pit.
Okay. So we'll be back in a little bit after that, so stand by, and don't touch that dial. More stuff on Garage Talk Live. You're listening to us on WNJC 1360 AM in Philly, 1460 AM Wi-Fi out of Florence and Burlington, GarageTalkLive.com. Click on the links. We'll be right back after these words.
Home or business needs power washing, there's only one place, commercial or residential job. Are you looking for a cleaning service, the official cleaning service for WNJC Radio? With a personal touch, the phone number for Deppert Signorama is...
Quickly, you're listening to us on WNJC 1360 AM in the Philly area and on WIFI 1460 AM. In the Florence, New Jersey, Trenton, Burlington area, and on the web, go to our website, GarageTalkLive.com, click on one of the links. Now we're going to bring on a very special guest. Her name is Tanya Burgess, and she is joining us in for the Ashley Sokolsky Brat Fund. Ashley, we'll bring on her, and, of course, Tammy Longacre, who handles the website for GarageTalkLive.com. Welcome to the show, Tanya and Tammy. That's going to be tough. two names with a T. I've been getting you confused. Now, Ashley, was your daughter, from what Tammy's told me, Tanya?
Yep, Ashley was my oldest daughter. She was 19. She was... competing at Loretta Lynn's this year in August down in Tennessee, and she was involved in a crash in her second moto, and she passed away 5 days later at Vanderbilt Hospital in Nashville.
I'm sorry to hear that, and this fund is something you're doing to help injured motocross racers or racers in general?
Yeah, we created this fund in Ashley's name to basically help injured riders and their families. That's one of the things that we're doing with it. We received so much support from everyone across the country, and especially in the racing community, that we really wanted to pay it forward. And the other thing that we really want to do is just really to promote women's motocross by creating a safer environment, and doing that, we're just through riders' education and providing protective safety equipment, and just a general more increase in the safety awareness of the sport.
Now, I guess you know Tammy through motocross racing. Tammy, a rider herself, I guess.
Yes, we actually have never met yet. We started talking to each other. She contacted me after Ashley's death by email, and we've kind of become friends like that.
It's amazing that, you know, the way you two got in contact with each other. We're trying to do what we can to help your cause out and get the word out here to my listeners. You know, what as far as, you know, promotional and stuff like that is, how long is to get the site up and running to where you can accept donations?
Actually, it's already up and running. We've had a lot of help and a lot of good friends that really have been pitching in. And the website is ashleysikalski316.web.com. And you can go on there and you can make some donations. We currently, you can contact us through there if you would like to maybe go to a writer's education school. We're currently in a collaboration with 211MX School, and that's owned and run by Steffi Bao. She's a two-time world champion, and so we're trying to help sponsor girls to go to her school and also provide some safety equipment. We've helped our first three or four families in the last couple weeks, and that was really rewarding.
Now, anybody that wants to donate, go to AshleySikalski316.webs.com, and there's the donate button, and that takes MasterCard, Visa, American Express, Discover, and Bank. It's just about everything we could think of, right?
Yep.
And, you know, it's a shame that such a young girl who's trying to follow a dream has a mishap on the track to where I guess it causes a lot of grief to you and the rest of the family, but knowing that she was doing what she wanted, does that kind of take a bit of the edge off, or is it still hard to get over? I mean, it wasn't that long ago that it happened.
Yeah, you know, it is really hard. We've just been trying to turn it into a positive. Ashley loved the sport so much, and it does help a little bit that, you know, that she died doing something that she loved, and so we just wanted to help give back to the sport. And, you know, I also have three other children, and my 17-year-old daughter loves to ride, and so I just think that there's some improvements that can be made in the safety of it, and you know, and make sure that everybody's riding as safe as they can.
Tammy, you have anything you want to ask?
Well, I know your other daughter's still racing. What is her plans? What is her goal for this coming year?
Well, you know what, it's kind of been a big discussion between her and I, and we've kind of settled on an agreement, and I think she wants to try to maybe go to Loretta's. She was up for an alternate last year, and she was having some issues with her knee, so right now she's doing a lot of physical therapy on her knee and training, and she's actually real excited. She was able to meet Ashley Filick down at Mineo's, and she'll be going down there when we go down to Florida this week and riding with Ashley at some of her tracks. So she's pretty excited about that.
Now, going through the book, I try to talk into cars myself if I were you.
You know, it's hard when you have a kid that's so passionate about a sport like that. It wasn't like she just liked to ride motorcycles. I mean, she ate, lived, and breathed motorcycles. And when they're that good at it, and that's what they want to do with their whole life, it's hard to tell them no. You know, you got to support them.
It sounds like you have a family that's really into motocross racing, and I guess knowing the dangers of the sport, they still want to do it no matter what, and it's just something that if they can get through it and pursue their dreams and, you know, get up to the top levels of the sport, then it really, I guess, makes you feel good when that happens. But I guess Loretta Lynn's, I think Tammy's tried to qualify for that herself, right, Tam?
Yep, I've only made it past the second level. I've never made the final. So it's one of the goals we've been trying, and I'll tell you what, it's the hardest thing to do. It is.
It takes a lot of dedication and a lot of focus to get there and do well.
And the other thing, too, is once you are on your path to getting there, I mean, the family is the biggest support you could ever ask for. Because, you know, the racer does the work on the track, but it also takes a toll on the family. You know, week in and week out, they're getting you to practice, they're getting you to train, they're getting you to the races, and they're taking time out of their schedules, too. You know, the families get a lot of thank you, too, from us riders, because they do. They put so much on their back burner to trust you to do what we do.
Right. Yep.
Now, Tanya, did Ashley have a local track that she used to compete on prior to qualifying for the Loretta Lynn?
She did. She had to qualify at the regionals, which were in Tennessee this year, but she was actually number one in Michigan this year. In fact, we just had the GLMX banquet last weekend at the Soaring Eagles Casino, and they did a really nice memorial dedication to her. She got the number one plate, and she worked really hard to get to Loretta's.
It's just one of those things, I guess. You know, when you get to Loretta's, what is the next step after that? Tammy, you're a rider, is that the ultimate goal in amateur motocross racing?
The Loretta's are kind of the motocross version of the Daytona 500. That's obviously the place you want to win. You want to come out on top on. It's the most prestigious event for the amateur ranks, as far as I know. It does get televised in different sections through ESPN and different channels like that. So that's your level. Maybe it's one of your next levels up is to try and head towards like the WMA, WMX series, and run on the pro series with them.
Now, was that the first time, Tanya, that Ashley qualified for Loretta Lynn's, or she been in it before?
Yes, Ashley, that was the first time she actually tried, and she actually made it her first time. It was her first time at Loretta's.
She was
really excited about that.
It sounds like she was an extremely talented young lady. How old was she when she started motocross racing?
She's kind of always been into it, but I would say she probably started racing around age 12, and then she's always just been just a natural-born athlete. She was into basketball and track and, you know, all kinds of stuff, and then probably she was actually playing college basketball, and she just decided at one point that she couldn't do that and motocross, you know, and devote everything to motocross. So she stopped doing everything else but racing, and probably about 18, and just dedicated everything to motocross. And it paid off. She got to where she wanted to be.
Now, think about the website again. It's the Ashley Sokolsky Brat Fund.
We named it the Brat Fund because that was Ashley's favorite thing to do. She was always just a goofball and a fun-loving kid, and she'd come in at, you know, any time of night, just brap, you know, yelling around the house, waking everybody up, and so we named that after her.
Sounds like what the sound of motorcycle, a dirt bike makes when you crank the throttle.
Yep.
See, I'm totally clueless when it comes to motocross. I know those sounds.
Yeah, if you've been on a bike or you're around anything in the racing community, everybody knows what that word is. So
it's Triple W Ashley, that's A-S-H-L-E-E, Sokolsky 316.webs.com. And go to the, check out the info and donate today. It was created in the memory of Ashley Sokolsky and the positive effect she had on so many. And it benefits injured motocross riders and helps sponsor women riders as well. That's pretty neat.
Yep.
Click on the donate button to take all the major credit cards. You have also Facebook and Twitter pages you want to promote?
I do. We have a Facebook page, and we don't have a Twitter page yet, but we have a Facebook page. And also, if anyone makes at least a $20 minimum donation and leaves their address, we'll send them a wristband and a T-shirt.
Pretty nice. And it's a worthy cause to help out because, one, especially motocross being a rough sport that it is, there's no sheet metal around you. You're jumping things on a bike, and the competition is fierce, and it takes a lot of talent to do that. So anything they can do to help them out, as far as, you know, being amateur riders, they don't have the backing that some of the professionals have. So,
right, you're right.
So please go on the site and make a donation and help the cause. Tanya, I'd like to thank you for coming on. I hope things work out well for you and your quest, and we'll be in touch.
All right. Thank you very much for having me.
You take care now. Tammy, is there anything you wanted to add?
Well, I mean, really, anybody who's listening, I really encourage them to log into the site and make a donation to help them out. What they're doing is incredible for riders. What most people don't realize is in the amateur ranks, the racers do not have sponsorship. When you think of amateur and local ranks in the racing and everything for NASCAR series, those racers do have the chance to go out the distance to get sponsorship. When it comes to motocross racing, it's something that's very hard to do. And what they're trying to do deserves a lot of praise because they're trying to help everybody out, keep them safe. I know with this kind of economy, the first thing people try to do is cut corners in their racing and cut their budgets and try and make it affordable. First thing they're going to cut out is protective equipment that is really expensive. Average price of a chest guard for racers is about $139, which doesn't sound like much, but when you have two or three kids racing, it adds up pretty quick. So I hope everybody just takes some time out of their busy schedule this holiday season, visit the site, and help them out any way they can.
Ladies, thank you for joining me, and we'll definitely give a mention on the show and keep everybody in so they don't forget.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Tammy, if you can get back to your little kitties, and Tanya, back again. It's a pleasure to meet you over the phone, and hopefully you'll tune into the show, and we'll check back in with you from time to time.
All right, that would be great. You have a Merry Christmas.
You too.
Okay, thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye now. So we're going to take a little break and be right back after these words.
WNJC, we needed to get our mobile unit lettered. We chose Deffert Signorama. We chose Deffert Signorama because they're simply the best at what they do. They serve the entire tri-state area. They handle interior and exterior signs, from stop signs to plaza markers. They also handle banners, truck lettering, neon signs, monument signs, ATP 8099.
In the Northeast, hey, Jar.
Hey, Big P, how you doing?
And we're back here on Garage Talk Live. I'm Ben Spontigli. You're listening to us on 1360 AM WNJC and 1460 AM WIFI. Let's pick up a caller. We've got Jerry from the Northeast. Hey, Jer.
Hey, Pixie. How you doing?
Not too bad. Trying to keep the off-season packed.
Yeah, I know. It's a bit of dearth of auto racing news on the big sports here lately, and I was wondering, have you heard anything about anything in auto racing during this off season?
Well, so far, I found out that they repaved Daytona, so it should be a lot faster with newer asphalt, and I've seen some pictures of that. They have to have cranes to hold up the equipment that paved the track because of the tank.
How's up to you, then?
Well, from what I've seen...
From what you've seen, yeah.
It looks pretty sharp looking there. If they were qualifying in the mid-180s, I think they're going to be up around in the 190s now with the restrictor plates. That should make it a lot faster in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
And
they think it's for the better, right?
It makes it faster now.
The free paving.
I don't think the racing is going to be any different. I just think it's going to move along a lot faster.
Oh, okay.
You're still going to get the packs. You're still going to have to worry about the big wreck.
Mm-hmm.
And just wanted to make an announcement that at Motorsports 2011 in Oak, Pennsylvania, every year.
Right.
It's going to be this year, January the 21st through the 23rd at the Greater Philadelphia Expo Center. And Kenny Wallace, Rusty Wallace, and Rusty's son Steven are going to be there. So we're getting the Wallace clan up there this week. It should be interesting. I'm going to try to see if we can catch up with them. Well, I'm working on it.
Yeah, I'd be fine.
You know,
hey,
if I can get Kenny on the show, that'll take up about half the show.
I took Rusty Wallace from ESPN to Garage Talk Live. That's a promotion for us, aren't
they? Hey, I'll see if I can get Rusty. Being he's broadcasting, now he's got a little downtime.
Yeah.
I have to make a few contacts out there. And also, John Force is up for a few postseason awards, a few extra ones.
And a few more appearances on your show.
Well,
I would imagine.
Why not?
Why not?
He's been coming on the show, he's been doing good. Same with his other driver, Rob White. Two consecutive championships.
Oh.
We've got to work on Ashley, get her a title.
There you go. Why not?
Matter of fact, John Force was named finalist for the Speed Performer of the Year. There's 18 finalists, and the winner gets a 100-pound bronze Mario Andretti trophy.
Wow, that's attractive.
Of course, Jimmy Johnson's a finalist.
Oh, yeah,
and,
I can't have no word without Jimmy Johnson.
Denny Hamlin.
Yeah.
Larry Dixon, who's a top fuel driver.
Right.
Dario Franchitti from IndyCar. Jamie McMurray. Will Power from IndyCar, Kyle Busch. I mean, there's a lot of names up there. So.
Oh, yeah. Has any awards been given out lately, or postseason awards been given out for auto racing?
Well, NASCAR had their banquet last Friday.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, Jimmie Johnson got the big $5.8 million check in the fancy checkered flag trophy.
Is there any comeback as driver of the year? I'd give it to Kevin Harvick.
You have to check.
Okay.
Usually they just give out the big trophy and everybody else gets the money they get for being in the top 12.
Okay.
I'm sure there's some contingency awards. Maybe we'll get a printout of that. I didn't know if I was going to have time to get to that tonight with all the guests we had on.
Oh, you're much in demand.
So how'd you like you were on last week between my first and second guest, which was Sarah Fisher. Then, what did you think of Brittany Foster from South Africa?
She sounds pretty attractive, and she sounds like she knows what she's talking about, too.
Yeah, she's good to have on the air. It was a great interview with her. Of course, we had Sloan Henderson, who's 18 years old, looking to move up. I'll tell you, I'm going to have a lot of these younger drivers on in the off season.
They're going all their races when the season starts.
It's
not a coincidence that as soon as they get on your show, when it gets to their season, success follows.
So we're going to try to get some of these up and comers on in the off season. You know, during the season it's a little tougher, because we have race coverage to get to and all that. So
maybe you could try funny cars. Nah. You don't like funny cars, do you?
What's that?
Maybe you try a funny car.
I do. That's where John Force drives.
Oh, yeah. Well, more funny cars I'll drive.
And Bob Tasca, who we've had on, Ashley.
There you go.
Well, we had, four funny car drivers on. Well, we got a lot of drivers to get on, so.
Well, you see, you get all of them on yourself.
Well, I'm working on bringing in a producer who can make all these calls during the daytime when I What I normally have to...
Well, have you tried any NASCAR, any big names for NASCAR in the off-season, too?
Usually the Cup guys are tough on Monday because that's their day off and after racing.
I mean, during the off-season, that might be a little more... if it's during the off-season, they're not racing.
Well, you figure NASCAR just had their banquet, so the top 12 are going to be chilling out through the holidays.
Right.
So we'll have to wait and see, you know, after New Year's, I'm going to go out with a vengeance and try to get on some of the bigger guys. Even if I got to pre-tape them, I'll do it and just play them on the show. That's
better,
my least
better,
happen.
Better than nothing.
I'm working on all sorts of different angles.
There you go. I mean, and of course, you'll get the Indy race cars too, right? The drivers from Indy too, right?
We're going to get everybody we can. That's why we call it all forms of motorsports.
All forms, right. Not just one, but all forms.
Well, you remember I had boat racers on and...
Oh, there you go.
Dirt trackers and motorcycle riders, so...
Motocross like you did earlier?
Yeah, it's a shame that the girl was like 19 and she got killed in probably...
That is a shame.
Their version of what was the Daytona, their Daytona... their biggest race of the year and...
Heartbreaker, man.
It is.
Definitely.
But her mom's turning it into a positive by, getting safety equipment and helping out the injured racer. So
yeah,
sometimes bad things turn into good things, and that's what we like to see.
Hopefully, the family of this person is do well through this adversity.
That's true. And she said her younger daughter's in the motocross racing too. So I'm sure that
there you go. The legacy will continue.
Well, either that or makes her mom's nerves, a little up there. I mean, especially this year. So.
Right.
All right, sir.
All right, man.
Call and.
Hey, have a good week.
Don't tune away. You never know how I'm going to have.
By when you want Christmas, or the week of Christmas, or before.
Next Monday, you mean?
Oh, yeah, right. Next Monday.
We'll keep it up in the air, so you'll have to wait and see. If I can't get a guest, I won't be, but I'm trying to book somebody.
Have a good week or two. Have a Merry Christmas if I don't talk to you by then.
All right, you too, sir.
Right.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye, bye-bye.
Well, we're about out of time. I would like to thank my guests for coming on the show. And, helping us have a nice off-season show instead of reruns like last year when I had pretty much reruns all in the off-season. So we're looking to do some different things this year. And Tanya Burgess and Sloan Henderson for coming on today. Last week, Sarah Fisher and Brittany Foster. So don't go away. Check out the website, garagetalklive.com, or Facebook. Type in Garage Talk Live, or even the Twitter at .com/GarageTalkLive and see who we got coming up. So stay tuned for the two-hour show following at the top of the hour, past our station ID, and we'll see you all next week.
Well, here you have an encore presentation. This was back in 2010, 3 years ago this week. And I might run that one with Brittany Foster next week because she's not racing anymore and I'd like to get her name back out there. So that's... pretty interesting. And Sloan Henderson, last we knew on Sloan that she didn't get a chance to drive in the ARCA series for Brad Keselowski's brother Brian, and she had to buy her ride, and there was such a scandal that went on with that. It kind of ruined her in the racing world. And see, I don't think she's run anything since then, but it's a shame because she was one of the promising young ladies that I was looking for to move up. Now, she said that she wasn't into the drive for diversity, but, you know, it does help you get a K&N ride in there. If you're lucky, you can get backed by a, you know, like Darrell Wallace Jr., all that were backed by Joe Gibbs, and it was a development driver for there. So you get a chance to be a, you know, development. She went through the ARCA series through Keselowski, and it didn't turn out well. So you kind of feel bad for Sloan, and just one of those things that what happens to some of these drivers that look like they have a shot at making it, and it turns out things don't go quite the way you want them to, and as much as you'd like to see them do well, you know, they have promise. They do well in their divisions, and when it's time to make the big time, either you can't get the money or team you sign isn't above board and ethical with you, and I think that's kind of what happened. If I can get a hold of her, maybe we can get her back on the show and see what she's been up to. Anyway, you can tune in to tomorrow night to Lowdown and Dirty right here at blogtalkradio.com/GarageTalkLive. And Joey and Brian and Scotty, and they'll keep you on what's happening with the Dirt Series. I know there's been some stuff going on, and they always bring you the latest and greatest of the dirt track running, and it's nice to have them on our network. If anybody wants to get a hold of me, you can tweet me at GTL Vince or Facebook at my Facebook page, which is Vincent Bonfigli. It's my whole name. And we'll be able to set something up. So next week is the Monday before Christmas, so I'm not expecting, let's see what we can dig up. Maybe we'll do a Christmas wish list and replay some interviews that I did with, let me see who I got that I could bring up. There was several with Sam Hornish Jr., Charlie Kimball, Simona DiSilvestro, Ricky Stenhouse Jr., we could bring a few of them back, and we'll have some fun, and hope everybody will throw it out for the audience there. So check up on the Facebook page. I'll post something, and we'll see what kind of fun we're going to have. Well, that's our show for tonight. I'm Vince Bonfigli. Good night and good racing.